There is a pasuk that we say more times in Yom Kippur probably than any other pasuk. Which concludes with the words "Lifnei Hashem Titaru." Such a major component of the of Adavni and Yom Kippur, even the Avodas Hamikdash, it's a major part. So what does the word mean? If you were writing an art scroll translation, how would you translate the word Titaru? Purify yourself. What are those words? What does the word mean? Titaru. So l'chora, there are two issues you have to raise in terms of understanding this phrase, this word properly. Number one, we're not sure exactly what the word Titaru is referring to. Is it conjuring up the image of halachic tahara, like tomb of a tahara, almost the image of a mikvah? Is that what Titaru means, go to the mikvah? Or does Titaru mean more of a spiritual sense, more of like kiva yamazel yechapra lechem? Kapara is not tomb of tahara. Nothing to do with the 40 saw of a mikvah. Kapara is a different type of a tahara process. Maybe lifnei Hashem Titaru is a throwback to the first half of the pasuk. So you can always read the pasuk in two different ways. Either you can read it saying, "Kivayom azay chaper lachem l'tar eschem," that the Rebbe Shalom is giving you a day of kapara, l'tar eschem, he's going to purify you. He's going to purify you in a spiritual sense of yechaper lachem. He's going to clean you. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to purify you of your avarice. Because lifnei Hashem Titaru means that you have to be mitar yourself. Tie yourself by doing what? Either by tying myself by doing something to enable this kapar to happen, or maybe lifnei Hashem Titaru means to go to mikvah, become tahor. Not clear exactly what the pasuk is talking about. Between you and me, it's not even clear that lifnei Hashem Titaru is a tzivoy altogether. Lifnei Hashem Titaru can mean something totally different. Lifnei Hashem Titaru doesn't mean the Baruch Hashem telling you what to do. Lifnei Hashem Titaru may be a description of what is happening in Shemayim. Now, lifnei Hashem Titaru is a haftacha. That, by the way, you should just know, says the Rebbeinu Shlom, what is going to happen on Yom Kippur is the following. You will become purified in the eyes of the front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What am I supposed to do about it? Nothing. After fasting, the melacha, whatever the mitzvah yom are, the lifnei Hashem Titaru is not a teres tzivui altogether. So the phrase is very, very unclear. We're not sure what, are we talking about tara in the sense of ichus tumah tara and mikvah? Are we talking about tara in the sense of tshuva, kapara? And we're not even sure we're talking about anything in terms of what tara is supposed to be doing or not doing. So there is a famous comment of the Rosh in the end of Masechet Yuma, where he quotes from Rav Sadigon, that Rav Sadigon says that there's an age-old practice of going to the Mikvah Nerev Yom Kippur. We're all familiar with that practice. Rav Sadigon writes that before you go to the Mikvah Nerev Yom Kippur, you have to make a bracha, Shir Kiddushan Mitzvah Yitzvan Ala Tvila. So anyone ever make that bracha? The Rosh says we don't make that bracha. Nobody's made that bracha. Who was the last person ever to make that bracha in the history of the world? Huh? No, I'm saying an Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's one of his one lifetime brachas, right? Rav Sadigon wouldn't like your riddle, right? Right, that was last year at the end, yeah. Who was the last person that we know made that bracha on Erev Yom Kippur? Rav Sadigon, right? So Avram Zev Sobolovsky made that bracha a couple of years ago. Why? Because he was in the mikvah, in Erev Yom Kippur, and it says on the wall of the mikvah, before going underwater, recite the following bracha. Because it's giving guidance for the women to do. So it should have said, not for men on Erev Yom Kippur. So he made the bracha. So I said to him, as he's making the bracha, I said, I such a schus, in 1,000 years, nobody made that bracha. He said, my family, we bring back to life the brachas of the Goinim. You know, those who remember from Kedushim last year, with the Minigat Goinim, the Rosh, it's a similar idea, the Rosh quote from Maseches Bechairis, he quotes from the Goinim, that when you do a pidyon haben, so the Gemara says you make two brachas. You make a bracha, a pidyon haben, and then you make a shechianu. Gemara, the very last Gemara, Maseches Pesachim. So the Rosh quotes from the Goyim who had a practice that after you do the pidyon haben, the Kohen turns around and he makes a bracha. Bracha da Hashem l'kamach asher kidesh b'chayre something or other. You know, bracha da Hashem, you know, makadesh pitrei rechem or something like that. By the way, in case anyone wants to know about the petach hamor that we spoke about so much last year, I remember we were talking all about the Petach Hamor, and I've been wondering what happened. I finally asked the fellow the other day when we did Kaparis. I asked him, what happened to the donkey? No one remembers?
Yeah, of course.
You know what he said to me? It wasn't pregnant. It was never, they thought it was pregnant. They never bothered me. You know, it was a little chubby, kind of a little weight, gained a little weight. They thought it was pregnant. And they were waiting for it to give birth. It never gave birth. And then Glenn Mills was never pregnant. So very strange. Very, very strange. Anyway, so we're still waiting. Still, guys? I don't know. We'll keep you posted if we get another one. Anyway, So, but still eligible for so many shurim. We spoke about last year, and like 20 times, we have 20 shurim about Petach Chamor, never happened. Okay, anyway, getting back to that story. So the Rosh in Maseches Becheiros quotes from the Gaonim that you make a baracha at the time of a pidyon habana, shekidesh, pitre, rechem, donam, etc., etc., etc. So the Rosh writes that we never heard of such a bracha. No one ever makes it a bracha. He says, not right. We have no right to make a bracha. It's not in the Gemara. It doesn't make any sense. What's the kohen making a bracha for? He's not doing a mitzvah. So we spoke last year, right? We spoke about this Rosh a lot last year. The Rosh's tain against the Gaonim was that the kohen's not doing a mitzvah. Who makes a bracha if you're not doing a mitzvah? So we explained the Gaonim held that the kohen is part of the mitzvah. Hakunon, Nesina, a lot of lumdus and kedushin about this. So this bracha also has been out. The Rosh throws out all these brachas. The Gaonim's bracha on Erev Yom Kippur he didn't like, and the bracha and the Gaonim from Pidyon HaBeni didn't like. So who was the last person to make this bracha? So one of my nephews, Pidyon HaBen, so my brother-in-law, I give him the sefer before in Pidyon HaBen Kilchaso. So in the back of Pidyon HaBen Kilchaso, so they have the sefer of Pidyon HaBen. So he's following along the sefer of Pidyon HaBen. They're doing the Pidyon HaBen with the Kohen. And I'm listening to the Pidyon HaBen, it didn't sound right. I wanted to, some of the phrases were off a little bit. It just didn't sound like familiar to me. But I gave him the book. I said, yeah, maybe there's nothing in it. It's fine. I don't know what it was. And then all of a sudden, he's about to make the bracha. Baruch Hashem HaShem Kiddush. And look, there are two chapters at the end of the book. One is Pidyon HaBen, Say the Pidyon HaBen HaNahug B'Zman HaZeh. And one is a whole chapter called Say the Pidyon HaBen Lefi Minhag HaGa'onim. Quoting a few little odds and ends, a little bit of a different nusach, and in the Fi Minhag HaGa'onim has that bracha. So he was about to make the bracha. The bracha hasn't been said in 1,200 years, and then we're going to make it in California. We're going to make the bracha on a pidyon. It's never said. So there's some kind of a, maybe like old good gugulim, our family gugulim from the days of the Ga'onim. All the brachas that have been out of whack for 1,000 years have made their resurfaced in Bergenfield in California to our families. I don't know, very, very strange situation. Okay. So the bottom line is the Rosh. Not quoting material. So the Rosh quotes from Sadi Gaon and says you make a bracha before you go to make an Erev Yom Kippur. So nobody knows why Rav Sadi Gaon said this. What kind of bracha? What kind of mitzvah? The Rosh writes, it's not a chiyuv. It's a minig. It's not a bechlal. Doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's not a chiyuv. What are you making a bracha for? So everyone's searching and searching, trying to figure out where Sadi Gaon's coming from. What kind of bracha is it? So the Rosh says that maybe. Besides you go in hell, you make a bracha for every Yom Kippur because it's chayv on the taras beregel. So maybe Yom Kippur is like a regel for this. So the Rosh disagrees, the Ram disagrees. Yeah. Nobody knows for sure why. What's the answer to this mystery? Why besides you go and say you make it, says you make a bracha? So the Rosh Hashulchan in Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Siman Erev Yom Kippur says he thinks that the mystery is not such a mystery. He thinks it's pasuk chumash. He thinks Rav Sadigon understood that's exactly what the chumash means. Lifnei Hashem Tetaru means before you come to the Ribbono Shalom, before you come to the Yom Din of Yom Kippur, what do you have to do? Tetaru. You have to retire yourself. What does Tetaru mean? Tetaru doesn't mean do tshuva. Do tshuva, that's another story. Tetaru means go to the mikvah. Make sure you enter into Yom Kippur in the state of Tara. That's the deal. It has nothing to do with Chayav Alam Tara Sabra. Nothing to do with Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos. It has nothing to do with Tekanis Ezra and Balkari. Pshuto ke mashba ozai shtei ke mechumesh lifnei Hashem Tetaru. That's a quite a chiddush. But when I said nobody else held this way, we paskin. It's not true. We paskin. We don't make a bracha. So we are not convinced at all that this is really what the pasuk means. But Yerucha Shulchan said the pshat. He thinks the simple pshat of Sadi Gaon was lifnei Hashem Tetaru is mamash a chiv of tara in the sense of a tefila b'mikvah. So according to everybody else who doesn't accept this Yerucha Shulchan, doesn't accept this of Sadi Gaon. So what does lifnei Hashem Tetaru mean? So either it means Tetaru in the sense of doing tshuva, chiyuv to do tshuva, or it means it in the sense of some kind of a haftacha, not a chiyuv tshuva at all. So hopefully that's from tomorrow. So we'll try, even though I'm supposed to give a shiur tomorrow, but we're going to sit for the whole year. So we'll talk about Yom Kippur tomorrow. So we'll try to continue a little bit, and we'll probably connect it to Sukkot also. So hopefully that's from tomorrow. We're going to try to get a little bit of better understanding. So what does Tetaru mean? If it doesn't mean what the Yerucha Shulchan and the Rav Sadi Gaon say it means, so Daka, what does it mean? Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll try to get a little bit better idea and halacha and stuff. What time? My shiur is at 2:30 tomorrow. A little?